So our scripture lesson today is from Galatians. It's chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There is no male or female. For you are all one in Jesus Christ. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. So I called this coming of faith, how you'd come to faith. And so sometimes people take the Old Testament and they go, you know what, that just isn't really important. It really, once that Jesus was brought into the world, it really changed everything. And so that Old Testament law, when you read it and you see all those things, it really didn't have any importance. And so what I would tell you was we needed that Old Testament law to help us get to where we are with understanding Jesus Christ and how he works in our lives. And so in the commentary I was reading, he gave an example of a school guard. So how many of us went to a school that you had a crossing guard or an adult that helped you get across the street? Some of us did, some of us didn't. And so I'm going to use that as the example. Now, the school guards or crossing guards made sure you got across the streets, whether you're busy or not, and they might help you get up towards the door if you were getting off buses. But they did not go inside. They did not teach any classes. They did not check to make sure you did your homework on a regular basis. But what they did was they got you there. They got you to that place. And when you read through the Old Testament, the people knew what the law was. They knew what they were supposed to do. The problem was they couldn't do it. They couldn't follow all the rules and regulations. And one of the things it did was it made them recognize they couldn't do that. Because sometimes until we recognize we have a problem, we're not willing to make a change. We'll just keep doing what we're doing and somehow hope it's going to get better. We don't really know how, but we're just going to keep doing the same old stuff. But what we can learn by reading that is that work cannot be dependent on that Old Testament law, but we're really dependent on the grace of God, which we can't earn. It's not based on anything we do. It is just because God loves us that much. So give you an example here. So to become Jewish, there were three things that a man was going to have to do. He was going to have to be circumcised, he was going to have to offer a sacrifice, and he was going to have to be baptized. Now, if you were born Jewish, that wasn't true, but if you were born a Gentile, which is anybody else, and you wanted to become Jewish, you had to go through this baptism. And so I looked up the ritual for this. So you had to cut your hair, you had to be completely undressed. You needed to have at least 280 liters of water. I didn't really know what that was, but my phone says it's almost 74 gallons of water. That's a lot of water. The water must touch all parts of your body. You're going to have three friends around you that are going to be reading the law, different parts of the law. They're going to say words of encouragement to you, and they're going to pronounce blessings. And once all that's done, however long it takes, then you can become part of the Jewish faith. Now, for Christian baptism, it's entirely different. We don't only have Jesus on the outside of us, what the water represents, but it's more important that Jesus becomes part of us internally, that we allow him to guide and direct us in what we do. Now, probably the most important, so we live in this time of figuring out ways to divide people up, whether they're old or young. Did I tell the story? I told somebody here today, so now I'm going to tell everybody. At my Kiwanis meeting on Wednesday, the youngest guy came in, and he just stood and looked at us like this for a minute. And we said, Pete, what are you doing? He said, well, I heard on the radio, because it was hot Wednesday, just to remind you, he said, I heard on the radio that I should check on my elders to make sure they're okay. I said, well, that was really funny. So he separates us by old and young. But in this scripture, they separate by Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female. We separate ourselves 3,000 different ways now. And there's no reason for it. Because what he's saying here is that with Jesus Christ in the world, we are all the same. We may not look all the same, we may not do all the same stuff, but we are all the same once we become part of Jesus Christ. So we inherit these promises of Jesus Christ, not by law, not by following, you know, nine. So when I read the Old Testament and they start doing that law stuff, after a while I just fog out. Because I'm going, I don't even know how, they didn't even have this written down. I don't know how they remembered it. I mean, you could only repeat that stuff so much. I have a hard time remembering the Ten Commandments in order, let alone all the laws in the Old Testament. But if those laws, those rules aren't really that important. If we allow Jesus Christ through God's grace to guide and direct us in all things, everything else will have a way of working out. And so what I would tell you is that we all owe a debt for God for His grace. Because as I told the big adult children today when we were doing the extreme makeover, we don't do anything to earn that grace. We can't do something to earn that grace. People will read through the book, especially James, and they'll decide, oh, if I just do all these good works, things are going to come out okay for me. That's not true. You do those good works because we recognize God's love and grace, and it makes us want to reach out and help other people. So we have the sheep for the blood drive. You're going to help people there if you give blood. You're unlikely to ever meet in your entire life. And when I've done that before, the last few emails, they'll send me an email and said, your blood went to someplace, and approximately 3 to 6 people were helped with the pint of blood you gave. They do not give me their names and addresses, and I do not get a thank you letter back from them. I do it because I can. Because you can help people. I don't do it because of me. I do it because somehow God has moved me to see that's a way for me to help people. We all have the ability to help people. How we're led to do that is up to each of us. So we owe this debt because of how much grace and love God shares with us each and every day. And whether we recognize it or not, instead of trying to separate each other the way we do in this time we live, we should recognize we're all one under Jesus Christ. Should be just the opposite of everything that you read. So every news thing now, it'll be 42% agree, 48% disagree, 8% want something else, or 8% didn't vote, or it doesn't matter. If we believe in Jesus Christ and we make Him part of our lives, then we're all together as one. We may not agree on every single thing, but let's find those things that we can agree on and make the world a better place. So the commentary I use, I like a guy named William Barclay. He wrote this in 1956. I didn't realize he was famous until I started taking classes, because they're always quoting him in these books I read. Now, he was an English guy, so every once in a while when I'm reading him, I have to look up what he's telling me because I don't understand. Because even though we're both speaking English, I don't understand his English or the words he uses. But he wrote the volume I'm using in 1956, which last week I told you the last book of the Bible was written. Does anybody remember? It was about 112 AD. So this is almost 2,000 years newer. And one of the things he says in there, the very last thing he said on this was, you know what you can really learn from all this is that if we try to make changes to make the world a better place, we fail. If we do it based on humanity, we fail. And we have a whole history of when we try to do things to make things better because it's man trying to do it, it just doesn't work. So he wrote that 70 years ago almost now. He recognized that. So does anybody think the world is better today than it was 70 years ago as far as people getting along together? It's worse. I told the Revelation group this last week, but I just finished reading a book called 25 Lies. And in there, one of the things he talks about is the violence that we see, especially this was a big city, this was a big city point of view, talks about the violence we see in big cities. And so he was born in like 1970, and so he's kind of talking from 1970 on. And he says, what the difference I see is people don't have God in their lives anymore. that they've moved away from God because they think they can do better, that they have the ability to make the world a better place. Well, just like in 1956 when he wrote this and he said, it cannot be made better by human effort, that has not changed in that 70 years since he wrote that. And for us, we need to find a way to bring people to God so that they realize, just like in the Old Testament, that you cannot follow all these laws on your own and do everything and become the person you're supposed to be. The only way to make that happen is let Jesus Christ in your life and to let your life be led by Jesus Christ. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to be perfect, but that's our goal, is to become more and more like Jesus Christ. And so instead of us trying to make the world a better place by something Ed's going to do or Bill's going to do, any of the Bills here today, or any of the Judys, there are 100 Judys here today, any of the Judys, it can't work that way. We can allow the Lord to work through us, to change us, to reach out to people to make a difference in their lives, but we cannot do that on our own. And when we pray each week about the sin of violence and the way that people harm each other, that isn't going to end until people can find the Lord and see what they're doing is wrong. And how many of us here are disciples? Everybody? Okay, so what I need you to do is go out into the world, and if you start with one person at a time, make sure they know the Lord. And if they don't, see if there's a way you can help them get there. And even if they reject you, that may just be the beginning of a change in their life. And you do not know how, when you change one person's life, how it's going to change all the people's lives that they come in contact with. So that's your homework. Go out and change people's lives. You can't do it yourself, but allow the Lord to guide you in how to do that, how to reach those people, how to make a difference in the world one person at a time. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful and grateful that we could come together this day as a congregation. Let us take your good word out into all of mankind. Let them know the love, the grace that you're willing to share with all each and every day, where we can make a change in their heart to love one another as you have asked us to do. Amen.